myself, Wildian Tausch, begins now. And it begins where Homer wanted to begin, or where we ended the 10 o'clock hour. Thanks again to Rob Domofsky. Always great to catch up with him and giving us lots of jumping off points. All right, Homer. Are you saying, you did say, you aren't saying it, you said it, that the guys aren't good enough up front? When you invest the way they invested, both with high draft capital, those three guys I mentioned, Kenny Clark in 16, Rashawn Gary in 19, Lucas Van Ness in 23, all first-round picks. Kenny Clark, third contract, $70 million extension, $37 million in first 2 years pay. Rashawn Gary, $84 million, $96 million, some very large number in October of 2023. Are you telling me that you don't think those guys are good enough? And if so, what are you going to do about it if you're Goody?
No, I'm just questioning the issue of the defensive line coach in terms of the importance of it, given that I don't remember anybody at any point saying, you know, this defensive line coach is a problem. Now, I don't know what Halfley could or couldn't have done when he took over, but so it seems to me he's a scapegoat. We all know the answer to your question. There's been a disappointment there. Other hand, the defense did. I think they finished eighth or ninth in points given up. Eighth. So
they finished defense. They finished sixth in scoring defense.
Yes, that's right.
Sixth offense in scoring defense, fifth in total defense.
Yeah, eighth in offense. So yes, my point is, so they did pretty well. So
sure.
Let me push back on you. I will defer to you.
Let me push back on you just in terms of this. Maybe Jason Rebrovich, who was, they were pretty good in the last year of Joe Barry's system. Maybe it was just, it's not Jason Rebrovich is a bad coach or he didn't coach them well enough. Maybe they just need someone who is a 4-3 defensive line coach, not a 3-4 defensive line coach slash outside. I mean, Jason Rebrovich is 3 years on staff. Outside linebackers coach in 2022 under Joe Barry in a 3-4. Pats rush specialist, which I'm not even sure exactly what that meant. I think it was still just outside linebackers.
That means we have too many coaches, so we got to come up with names.
Maybe, yeah. So that's what his job was in 23 under Barry. And then they switched to a 4-3. And the argument that I heard from multiple people in the building, and frankly even from Jeff Halfley to some degree, is that the transition from 3-4 to 4-3 and to a more aggressive get-up-the-field approach, that as your favorite doctor of football, Brian Bulaga, liked to say, playing the run on the way to the quarterback, that maybe he just didn't teach it because it wasn't subject matter like that he was as effective at.
Fine,
and maybe
then then you would have changed before the season started.
Well, maybe he liked Jason Rebrovich and thought he could adjust, and then the adjustment didn't happen the way he wanted it to, right?
Okay.
Like, maybe you're thinking, hey, this guy's a good coach. I want him on my staff. The guys seem to like him. He seems to have, you know, connectivity with Rashawn Gary. I'm going to keep him on. And then after they're not as productive, you say, well, we need to get somebody who knows. I'll give you a great example. So Matt LaFleur takes over in 19, and there was no assistant coach from Mike McCarthy's staff better, well-respected than James Campen, who now is back working in a scouting capacity, and who Matt LaFleur really liked personally.
And then offensive line coach.
Right, offensive line coach. And Matt LaFleur wanting to do the outside zone scheme of the Kyle Shanahan system basically told Campy, hey, man, you're a great coach. I just want a guy who runs this scheme. And he hired Adam Stenovich away from the 49ers to install that scheme. Mm-hmm. Now, do I think that James Campen is a good enough football coach that he could have done that too? I do. I am also biased. He's one of my favorite coaches. But what I'm saying is maybe it's not the guy, maybe it's the system. And they need somebody who's better in a Halfley, Robert Saleh-style system. Is that a fair position for me to hold?
Sure. My position is the importance of that in terms of the defense and the pass rush. On a scale of 1 to 10, how important is the defensive line coach on, if you're looking at the pass rush, for the defensive line? And I say 2, 2.5. Maybe your number's different. I never heard of the guy. I don't think anybody else. No one knew who he was. You guys are good reporters. Did you ever mention the defensive line coach at any point this season?
As a writer, I certainly quoted him frequently enough. But to your point of this guy sucks, they need to make a change?
Well, or not that he sucks, but I think, you know, we're all assessing. We assessed the pass rush issue the entire season, or much of it, right?
Sure.
I don't ever remember any discussion, not once, of, the defensive line coach, we got to, whatever the reason for, not once by anyone. And I'll stand corrected if the Institute will tell me otherwise. That makes me question the importance of the change. Not that it isn't appropriate for all the reasons that you say. And if they do better next year, I'm going to credit the players way more than the defensive line coach. But you may not agree.
A text from Chauncey, not Billups, I don't think, in Oshkosh. So is the improved defense due to Jeff Hafley or Xavier McKinney? You know, I love questions like this because
that's a great question.
It is, and yet, of course, the answer is because of both. But I think this is an instance, and I was just looking up this stat. So obviously, statistically, the Packers' defense was great, but we would all agree, or was very, very good, I would say. They're top six in both scoring defense and total defense.
And they were 10th the year before.
But lower in scoring defense.
Scoring, they were 10th.
Yardage, they were like 13th or lower than that even last year.
Never looked at yardage. I don't do yardage.
So here's what's interesting. So from a defensive perspective, the Packers, despite us thinking that their pass rush kind of stunk.
It didn't.
It statistically did not. Mm-hmm. They finished with 45 sacks. The Broncos led the league with 63. But the Packers were tied for 8th with 45 sacks. They were 10th in the league in a stat that is termed sacks per pass attempt. So a little bit lower than they were in just pure sack numbers, right? But I would add this. What Jeff Hafley did and why Jeff Hafley deserves credit, and I was talking to LaFleur about this before the Eagles game during our conversation that I had with him. What he was great about was adjusting, which is not something that Joe Barry did well. Now, he did not say that part. I'm saying that part. But one of the reasons and one of the keys to being a really good defensive coordinator in today's NFL is you have to be able to adjust really well. And he did. There were some instances where he didn't. There's no doubt about that. But on balance for the year, for instance, as you agreed, as you stated, the guys up front were not getting home as a four-man rush, so what did Jeff Hafley do about it? He did something he didn't necessarily want to do defensively, which was run a bunch of simulated pressures or blitz or whatever he did differently. That's not what he wants to be doing up there. He wants to get home with four as much as he can. But it wasn't working, so he adjusted. Does Xavier McKinney make Joe Barry a better defensive coordinator if he has Xavier McKinney roaming as the deep safety instead of Darnell Savage? In the words of greatest American orator Mark Tauscher, no blank blank. Of course it does. But do I think that it was more about a system that guys bought into and a coach that could adjust? Because let's be honest, when Xavier McKinney, the next step for him in this defense will be for them to figure out ways to get him more involved. Because just erasing teams from throwing his direction is not enough, right? You can't be Charles Woodson. If that's all they're doing,
what else
is avoiding
can he
him.
Do? I don't know that
they
he
can
has
get him more involved
skills.
At the line. So what Jeff Hafley talked about, and I think this is where Evan Williams comes in a big way. There's a lot of faith and trust in Evan Williams. They love him, And the idea of him being healthy for a whole season, which he was not as a rookie, and him being more experienced, you can now put him in some of the Xavier McKinney roles, and you can use Xavier McKinney in different ways, closer to the line of scrimmage, sending him on blitzes more often, doing other things with him that he did not do this year. So I think that if I'm going percentage-wise, it's probably 65-35, 67-33 in favor of Jeff Hafley as to why the defense was better. But there's no doubt having Xavier McKinney was a huge factor.
Can I add to that question?
No. Why do you can you don't have to ask permission. Stop doing that.
It is very polite when he does it, though.
Right.
It's
nice. But here's the thing. The guy that's normally in that seat never asks for permission.
It's a nice change of pace, really.
Well, I don't every
time
either.
It's hard to adjust to, frankly.
But it's my question that I am curious for you to answer about the difference in the defense from last year to this year and how much Hafley gets or how good would they have been with Barry. Because you mentioned McKinney, but every bit is important. Cooper, Bullard, and Williams all drafted.
Yeah.
And I don't have an answer to would they have been as good with the old defensive coordinator as they were with this one. Because if I were the old coordinator, I would say privately to Jason Wilde, just know this. You give me McKinney, Cooper, Bullard, and Williams, and we would have gone from 10th in points to top four.
Yeah, you might. Yeah. It's a very fair statement.
But I could be wrong because it could be, because it would appear this group defensively that was drafted is the best group Goody's had in a few years, right? By far.
Yeah, I mean, he hit on all three of those guys. There's no
right.
question
and it's
about
Hafley's first year. It could be the problem in the past is the coordinator in terms of the system or whatever and the developing of young players. I would think that we'll find out maybe next year on Van Ness. Or maybe there's a limit to how good even Hafley could be.
Or maybe he is better suited to be an interior guy, and they line him and Devontae Wyatt up inside, and they have Kingsley and Igbare and Rashawn Gary outside, or they have somebody else that they draft with their first-round pick on the outside, and maybe that's their rush group. Maybe that. I mean, remember, Lucas Van Ness did a lot of rushing from inside at Iowa. So that
when
that
he played.
When he played, but he, you know, yeah. A little. I did find it odd that they drafted a guy who'd never started a game in college. I'm not going to lie. All right. We got more to get to, including some trivia. Jesse, what is today's category, and what caller would you like?
So this is fun, I think. We usually do Wisconsin Geography Wednesday with the conference championship games taking place this weekend between the Washington Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles and the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Conference championship geography. Questions about the four cities of the teams that are competing in the conference championship.
But we only got three questions.
Well, those are the...
Sorry. Is our fourth question today?
It's going to be fun if you just let it be fun instead of just questioning things that don't make it as fun. Like, this will be fun.
Okay. And what caller would you like, Jesse? Because you want to make it fun.
I don't care. 12.
Still not as good as the printer line, but not bad. Caller 12 right now, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 12 plays Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Jesse says this is going to be fun, so hopefully he's right. Time for trivia. I'm sorry?
You'll be underwhelmed. We know how this works around here.
I don't do anything in trivia, right?
Yeah, no, I got it. You just take the segment off. But if you want to chime in, feel free.
Okay.
You don't even have to ask permission. Getting rave reviews, though. Are you still engaged in the YouTube chat? Because I've been trying to juggle a few things.
Not as much, but I've been enjoying it. I haven't responded as often.
All right, well, you should get back in there now that you've got really no responsibilities.
All right, I will do that. Done.
Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Pat in Wales. Pat, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. I'm being told that you played trivia a very long time ago. It's been a while. Where you been?
Long time listener. You know, it's been a while since I called in.
Well, we're happy to have you in Wales. Not to be confused with Jonah, since he was also in a whale at one point.
I get it.
Homer loves Christian comedy. Yeah. All right. Question number one, Pat, is this.
It was a tough one to swallow.
Hey! In which of these cities is the location Thomas Jefferson penned, wrote, the Declaration of Independence in 1776 found? Jesse, would you agree that the wording here is confusing?
Upon further review, yes. A little confusing, but you get it.
Where did Thomas Jefferson write the Declaration of Independence?
That would have been a better way to ask the question, yes.
Did he write it in Philadelphia?
Philadelphia.
Washington, D.C., or Buffalo. Correctamundo, one for one, Pat. Question two on another question that I'm sure is perfectly phrased. Which of these cities is home to a unique style of barbecue defined by its balanced combination of sweet and tangy flavors? Is it Buffalo, Kansas City, or Philadelphia?
Kansas City.
Indeed. Is that vinegary, Jesse?
No, vinegar is the Carolina barbecue. I learned a lot about barbecue sauces looking this up this morning. Texas, there's a Southern Texas, Eastern Texas, Western Texas. They all have different defining characteristics. And then you got Kansas City, Alabama, a lot of barbecue sauces.
Tupelo, Mississippi. Oh. Well, you know, I do enjoy my occasional trips to barbecue joints. All right, question three, Pat, and a chance for three for three on the day. The question is this. The Grand Estates of Marjorie Merriweather Post and the International Spy Museum are two attractions found in which of these cities? Is it Kansas City, Philadelphia, or Washington, D.C.?
We're going to go D.C.
Indeed! I think the International Spy Museum is kitty corner from, like, Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in D.C., if I remember by D.C., geography correctly. I think there's maybe a Shake Shack right there, too. Pat, great job, man. Three for three.
You got four entries.
We'll do the drawing coming up. Hey, welcome back to the show, buddy. We appreciate your loyalty.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that is Wilde and Tausch trivia. Lots of time, Jesse. Do you have enough material for Woe Nelly, or do I need to stall?
I mean, what's good is that we did skip it earlier this week, so there's definitely plenty to choose from that we have banked.
Okay.
So,
all right.
We'll be good.
Well, Homer will continue his conversations in the YouTube chats as a participant, although it's been a while since he participated, so maybe they booted him out of that list. Homer is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better. And Woe Nelly from Jesse is next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Before we get to Whoa Nelly, we got to pick a winner for trivia this week. Jesse, I assume the cheese fry helmet of victory is right nearby.
Sure is. Not forgetting this week, which officially makes Wildy and Homer better than Tausch and Thomas last week when we got distracted by bagels.
I think that goes without saying.
Draw the winner. I have our winner in hand. Congratulations to our old friend Sparky in Sussex. This week's trivia winner. You bribe the picker of the winner with a gift around the holidays, and sure enough, it'll work out for you. Congratulations, Sparky.
Thank you, Sparky, for playing. Thanks to everybody who played all week. And thank you to Jesse for delivering an outstanding, or so I expect, Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Whoa Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
So let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks for a moment. Yesterday, they fly back from New Orleans, flight delayed with the snow and ice and treacherous, severe winter weather that the South is not used to dealing with. Their game's postponed against the Pelicans Wednesday. They fly back Thursday afternoon, land in Milwaukee about 2 hours before tip time, and then they put it on the Miami Heat and get a nice win. Doc Rivers saying before the game, probably not the best conditioning to come in without really warming up a whole bunch and just get right to playing a game. A lot of reasons why the Bucks could have looked bad last night. Instead, they win their fifth straight and beat the Heat.
Wait a minute. And that's what you're going to say?
Yeah. What are you going to say?
The Heat are a total mess. Their best player missed the plane. Whatever situation the Bucks dealt with, not a tenth as great as the mess that the Heat are dealing with. Now that's the whole story. Thank you.
Great take, Homer.
He's not wrong.
That's why we do this. Jason,
how you can give a recap of that game and not mention that? That's like giving a recap of the Titanic and leaving out the sinking of it. What a heck of a boat, man. The greatest boat ever. That's our Titanic update today.
I'd like to avoid talking about the Titanic before I go on my first
That's
cruise on Sunday.
That's how horrific the situation is in Miami. This guy is the foundation of this core they talk about. And he's basically said, trade me to Phoenix. I'm never playing with you bums again because you didn't give me an extension.
So Jimmy Butler is suspended by the Heat for 2 games.
His second such suspension.
Second time he's been suspended in a 3-week span.
Yes.
He wants to be traded.
To Phoenix.
His relationship with the Heat, quote, is over. Did he not lead them to the NBA Finals like 2 years ago?
No. He wants an extension, and they said no.
Jimmy Butler is 35 years old.
Marquette alum?
You called his games at Marquette. Thanks, Jesse, for taking that. I was just about to say.
Yeah, the biggest, not one of the biggest mistakes of my life was not attempting to become an agent to be his agent. I asked him to be his agent at the banquet for Marquette when I said Kemba Walker will be a good pro. This guy will be a better pro. I called John Hammond, told him to trade down. He has done nothing that I didn't predict. And I said, can I be your agent? And I went back and he laughed and goes, Homer, come on. There's nobody, not even his agent, believed in him as much as I did. But I blew it, so radio life.
Well, in fairness, you didn't really blow it. Like, what you are, you do have an accounting degree, from what I understand.
We did learn that. Yeah.
What qualifies you to? I know you've proclaimed yourself, I could have been Aaron Rodgers' quarterback's coach.
Yes.
What is it in your experience as you've negotiated yourself from a 3-hour show to a 1-hour show make you an agent?
Well, no, I would have just found someone to be an agent. Probably called Tausch or Bulaga or Jim McElvain. McElvain would have been the best one.
Sure.
Said, who do I have it? Because I want to do whatever is necessary to become Jimmy Butler's agent because I will do better for him than anybody on the planet Earth. No one believes in his talent as much as I do. Now, I didn't even take it that far. I just wussed out. So
He is a six-time All-Star, a five-time All-NBA team member. Is he problematic? He was with the Bulls.
Yes, yes.
And that
he's a
ended
mess.
Poorly.
No, he's been a mess. I went in and asked, I won't say the Marquette player, and then and I said, I don't even really want to talk to you. What's happened to Jimmy? They say, and he goes, yeah, he's a mess. Totally a mess. I said, what happened? He said, money. It happens to some people. They get the money, and they just go crazy. And he said, so that was the end of that discussion, and that was many years ago, maybe six, seven years ago.
He was the 30th overall pick at the bottom of the first round in 2011 by the Bulls.
Yeah.
It ended poorly with the Bulls. It ended poorly with the Timberwolves. It really went poorly in Philadelphia. He was there for what, a year?
And then was great in Miami.
But he has been great in Miami. There's no doubt about that. Whoa, Nelly!
Whoa, Nelly!
Giannis, the leading vote-getter for the second straight year for the NBA All-Star Game. Are we still somehow taking Giannis for granted, Homer?
No. No. I mean, nobody cares about the All-Star Game.
Well, clearly some people care about the leading vote.
No one cares.
I don't think he got four votes. And like, that's okay,
fine.
Out of nine votes, he got the most. Like, there's a lot of people that voted for him.
The best player by the people that work at Speedway. This means absolutely nothing. Nobody watches the game. Nobody cares. They have a great ability to do it and solve this by having a U.S. versus foreign game, but they've chosen not to do that. Everybody would love that. And so I feel bad for him because at some point it meant something. Now it means nothing. So do we take him for granted? Probably a little bit, but...
I don't take him for granted, but I don't also think a lot about the Bucks unless I get an alert on my Twitter that Justin Garcia is hosting Bucks Talk, and then I tune in to watch that. Him and Brandon do a great job on there. So, yeah, I don't care about the NBA All-Star Game either. I used to. Am I getting this right? Jackson Jr. is in the dunk contest?
That was announced yesterday, yes. Yeah, Andre Jackson Jr.
Here's a good example. They should not have announced it.
Why?
Whoa, Nelly!
Because it's like announcing that I'm in the dunking contest.
No, Andre Jackson.
It's exactly the same.
He is an NBA
player.
He
has no more business being in the dunking contest than I do. So if the dunking contest has become irrelevant, you have two G League guys, whatever. Then when you add people, don't mention it. Just tell him he's in, and then when the dunking contest occurs, he's there. Because it does is reinforce the belief that it's a joke.
Brings up a good point.
I guess my follow-up to this was, wouldn't, in fact, a 70-year-old radio host being selected for the dunk contest create even more attention than Andre Jackson Jr.
Yes.
being selected?
I do want to give credit to Stephen A. Smith. He has suggested you make a national dunking competition, and then the top 10 people come to the All-Star Game, and that some big-shot player uses him, becomes the coach. And then you would have this, and that is brilliant. It would be fantastic. And again, the players, the great players, don't want to be in the dunking contest, but they might want to be the coach for, you know, one of the 5 or 10 finalists that make it. And there are certainly people all around the country that would love to do that. You win $1 million or something. It's possible he's had another idea is good, but can't believe anyone better. That's brilliant.
I think Tausch would be on board with Homer's idea of don't announce who's in the dunk contest, and I think more people would tune in on that Saturday night to find out, like they raise the curtain and you find out who's there to be in the dunk contest, and it could be LeBron or it could be Andre Jackson Jr. You never know.
I mean, let's ask, when people heard it, what their first thought was. And their first thought was, the dunking contest is officially dead.
Jeez.
Whoa, Nelly!
We did his games in college.
I'm going to say whatever I want, and I don't care.
No, we did his games in college. Tony Smith called him Crazy Man because he was a good defensive, and he was a very important part to them winning the national title. Anybody in this group can beat him in horse. He's at his best when he never shoots. And he'd be dunking. I can't think of any dunk he ever had. You got to get the ball to dunk.
Whoa, Nelly!
All right.
But he's a very, hold on. The change in his increased role with the team and minutes has made the team better. He has a role of significance as a defensive stopper, proving again, if you want to know about if somebody can make it in the NBA, if they can guard multiple positions, that's the best chance they have, not how many points they score in college.
And he also now has a role of significance on All-Star Saturday night in the dunk
contest. No, he has no role of significance. He has a role of increasing. As people use an example that the dunking contest is dead, he may be at the top of the list. If not, he's 1, 2, or 3 as an example of that.
Last question's about the football weekend. Commanders-Eagles, 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday. Bills Chiefs 5:30 kickoff on Sunday in the NFC and AFC championship games respectively. Homer, what is the matchup you want to see in Super Bowl 59 following the outcomes this weekend?
That doesn't matter. The matchup, the greatest matchup is the game right now this week. Buffalo and Kansas City. Whoever wins that game will win the Super Bowl. It'd be nice if the rookie quarterback makes the Super Bowl. The AFC is winning the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is the game this weekend, Kansas City and Buffalo. People aren't old enough to remember the days when the Steelers were so good and the Raiders were so good, and you had these games, and I feel badly for the team that loses that contest because they will be the second-best team left.
Jason, do you agree with Homer?
Did that answer your question?
Wow. It does, yeah. This is, it's fascinating because I don't, Homer really is very opinionated. He's like
the
anti-me.
This is one of the great games in the history of the NFL. Yeah. Kansas City and Buffalo. This is historic in terms of the teams, the organizations, and that someone has to lose because both of them should be playing in the Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl.
I am looking forward to that game. I think you're probably right. I am tired of the Chiefs. I want the Bills to win the game, and then I want them to win the Super Bowl.
Really? You're tired of the Chiefs?
I am. I am tired of the Chiefs. I'm ready for some new blood.
That'd be a better story. You always talk about stories. You'd have one of the greatest stories
in the
history of the NFL.
You don't think the Buffalo Bills, who lost four consecutive Super Bowls in the 90s, are a good story?
Only in Buffalo. You have a chance for this to be the first team ever to match what the Packers did in the 60s and win 3 straight NFL championships, all of which will be Super Bowls. Yes, that will be remembered forever. Buffalo will be remembered in Buffalo forever. But this is greatness. This is Jordan-like. Did you want Jordan to win 3 titles in a row, or were you tired of Jordan?
Well, no, I wasn't tired of Jordan. But as we established earlier in the show, it's not really Patrick Mahomes. It's the defense.
That it is. And it is Kansas City.
Mahomes is the star, though. Like,
he is the star.
The Patriots' defense carried them to some titles,
they did,
too.
No doubt about that,
too. Brady and Belichick.
Totally agree.
If Kansas City wins this weekend, it starts to become, are Mahomes and Andy Reid as good as Brady and Belichick? And I think you could make a case if they win 3 in a row for the first time ever.
They will have done that. They're still not equal. Come on. Brady and Belichick have how many? 7? 6? 7?
6 together.
6. And I checked. 3 is not 6.
3 in a row?
Still not
true.
6.
True. Which
would you take?
3 in a row.
Which would you want? What do you want?
6.
3 in a row or 6?
I want 6. Yeah.
Thank you.
By the way, Robert Saleh, the new defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, a job he has previously held, now that he
good
is
good decision.
Now he knows all our secrets.
I was amazed how bad the Jets defense got after he left. Can you explain that,
yeah,
Jason?
Yeah, interesting. Maybe he's a good coach.
I know. I mean,
coaching matters,
you say,
from what I understand.
Oh, the line? Yeah, no, I thought you'd say they had a great defensive line coach.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
I set it up for you. You don't even know who the hell it was. Can you even name the last 3 Packer defensive line coaches?
I can name the Packers 3. I definitely can't name the 49ers.
Can you name any
3.
Other one in the NFL?
Any other defensive line coach in the National Football League right now?
Unless he worked for the Packers.
Casey Rogers, who interviewed with the Packers and now went
to
the Lions.
I rest my case. Thank you. I'll take that as a no.
We will wrap things up with
Feel Good Friday painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. Homer, Feel Good Friday will be you telling us what your latest charitable humanitarian endeavor is, because you never give those, you never share that.
Right. I'm giving it a preview. 7.5 is a part of it.
All right. We'll hear it next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Born and raised under the rain and a western wind, felt the weight.
Time for Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. And as Homer does whenever I'm on with him, when it's John Anderson Tuesday or Brian Bulaga Thursday, I turn it over to Homer to tell us what meaningful charitable action he's undertaking lately.
All right, we have John Anderson, 7.5, because he high-jumped 7.5 at some point in his career.
The professor.
He is, of course, formerly of ESPN. He still does some work for him, but now a professor at Missouri. Well, he had a track guy that he called the GOAT. I can't even remember who it is. This person's so good, he called him the GOAT. And I brought up that I'm a huge fan of Friends for Health in Haiti. This lady, Katie, Dr. Catherine Wolf, started this and built a hospital in the middle of nowhere in Haiti where they had nothing. And over the years, they've told us how important the goats are for these people. The most important thing you can do for a person is get a goat. And a goat is like $100. So every penny I would raise, I would say, buy goats. And whatever that amount was. So John Anderson heard about it. And in honor of his track star, the GOAT, he donated money to Friends for Health in Haiti to buy goats for all the people and change their lives.
So just to be clear, you are advocating for buying goats, and you don't like it when I call you the GOAT of Wisconsin sports talk radio history? There's some irony there, isn't it? Sounds like you could put those two things together. Goats, the GOAT for goats.
Goats for
goats. And you could raise some big-time funds for Friends for Health in Haiti?
Goats for goats. That's good.
The importance of the GOAT to these people. Goats. Fine, whatever you want to say.
We're doing it.
That'd be a great idea. Let's do it.
God, I'm excited about this.
I bet Haiti Lady Katie would love that.
She'd love anything that helps these people. So,
all right, let's get started. I want mock-up ideas on my desk by end of business, close of business.
Just out of curiosity, the GOAT who are you actually talking to about this?
You and Jesse for starters.
No, I'm out.
No, you're trying to get these Haitian people goats. You are the GOAT,
right. Hold on. I have decided the manner in which I'm going to do that. Unlike you, who seem to want to tell me how to do things, this is a nice move of Tausch. However you want, that's fine. As John Anderson chose to do it in the way he felt comfortable
with. I'm in for $100 for a goat.
All right.
And then
that's
give
what
me
they
more
cost.
Information.
I think it's 100 a goat.
All right, give me more information.
Who thought a goat was that important? All these different things. The one thing you can do for these people is a goat more than anything else.
Get me more information. Yeah, all kinds of companionship, everything you could want from a goat. That's it for us today. Thanks to Homer for being our cousin sub of the day. He is the GOAT of
Wisconsin
Sports Talk Radio.
And I'm back next week, right? Next Friday, am I right?
Next Friday, Homer and Tausch. Okay. Buckle up.
Two goats. Bye. Have a great weekend. Take care.
Bye.
Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on Wisconsin On Demand.